Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone.
Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Beautiful day here in Sedona. And we have a guest that we've had on before when he was running with for office, Paul Chevalier. And this is a story about Yavapai College, right, Mike? And we've done I stopped counting at eight shows on Yavapai College. We first broadcast in 2014. We did the research in I think February of 2014. We did the research in 2013 about what was going on, and we heard this preposterous story about the college taking all this money from this side of the Black Ranger, Black Hills, Mike, and spending all the money over on the other side of the mountain. And it seemed like, you know, my first reaction, would they really take 90% of the money and spend it over there? Well, it's a complicated story. We ran into, we were passed on to Bob Oliphant. We had Bill Timmerman check all his research. It was golden. And then we broke the story. The Sedona City Council jumped in. Mike had a bunch of experience because Mike had taught at the college.
Yes, Ruth Wicks and Bob Oliphant. Bob Oliphant having resigned from the board in protest of the kinds of things. He felt that was the only way to get attention. And he was right. They were not listening to him, being one of four board members on the Yavapai College governing board. And the big thing, so the shows that we did, Democratic Perspective did, you said, eight shows on Yavapai College, extremely justified, because they were going to close the Sedona campus of Yavapai College, this beautiful building down the street here from Chasm Studios. They were intent on doing that, and I was at that meeting. There were almost 100 people there. Many of them spoke, and I believe that what we did, if we're going to pat ourselves on the back, turn the tide on selling the Sedona campus of Yavapai College.
We helped get the Culinary Institute here. We were unable to help save the film school.
I'm a big Ollie fan. But when you point at a college campus, and the only thing you can say about it is that there's Osher lifelong learning classes on there, that's sort of an indication of how the college feels, the community gets that support. I'm stepping on Paul Chevalier, member.
Let's mention that Klaus.
I'm going to be much more negative about this than anybody here.
Yeah, so. Paul's much nicer than we are about this issue.
I keep wondering why they won't rehire me. You know, I just don't get it.
So Mike breaks the story on them, and they told him they're going to be teaching two classes next semester. And guess what happened? He never taught a single class at Yavapai College again.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. Klaus, go ahead. What do you got?
Well, I'm listening. I'm a newcomer to the story. But it sounds horrendous. I mean, I can't believe what I'm hearing.
It was hard to believe the first information, and an anthropology professor was at a party, Jessica and I thought, and he was ranting and raving about what was going on.
So we're going to let
Paul. And it all turned out to be true.
Yeah, all turned out to be true. We're going to let Paul get us caught up. Now it's a different day. It's a different time. Mm-hmm. We have a different, the college has a different president. It has a different board. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you. Well, let me start with 2016. Because I think that's you covered pretty much up to that. In 2016, a committee that had been started in 2014 called the Verde Valley Board Advisory Committee. This was a board committee. Their job was to go out and speak to the people, the public, the elected officials, et cetera, hold town halls, do surveys, whatever, to make recommendations to the board to make things better in the Verde Valley. We did that. We had a committee of seven people. I chaired it. These people were all selected by the elected representatives from different parts of the Verde Valley. We made 24 recommendations. The first one was to keep open the Sedona campus. That's the only one that was acted upon positively by the governing board. The other 23 that we presented, they never even discussed. They just passed them on to the college. And after 2 years of our making recommendations, one day at a meeting without public notice, which violates the law and their own policy, they just suspended the committee indefinitely. And so in 2016, you know, we're all out of jobs. And then they appointed somebody, Connie Harris, very nice lady, but a lady that also supported whatever they wanted to do on the other side of the mountain to represent this district.
To shut you down, you must have been doing something right from our point of view, Paul.
We were. I mean, we had a dynamite committee. I mean, people on like Randy Garrison, who's now a member on the Board of Supervisors, Bill Regner, who's got reelected again to the Clarkdale City Council, et cetera, et cetera. We had one of the finest committees I ever served with. But in any event, we needed to have somebody to run. I really looked around to find somebody to run who I thought could do the job. And they all said, no, I'm not going to get into that mess. So I ran. And now I'm on the board. I've been on the board since January. I didn't come to the board as a stranger to how their operation. I had observed their operation since 2014. So I could come to the board, I think, running on the various subjects. The agendas are set by the college, approved by the chair, and there's a lot of what I call fluff in the agendas. There isn't much of substance. The only thing of substance going on in the agenda now is that each month we're getting some information on the budget that is going to be presented for approval in May. There's no board meeting in June, so it's going to be approved in May, and since at least the last 12 years, and I think a lot longer, the three members from the other side of the mountain have always voted for any budget put in front of them. So it's no doubt whatever budget comes
up. Who prepares the budget?
The budget is prepared by the college.
By the college, you mean the president and the administration?
In this case, the president didn't have much to do with it because she's brand new, and I wanted to get to that. We've had a difficult time getting what I consider equity in the Verde Valley under the last president, and actually the president before.
Tell us, Paul, how inequitable it was. So the folks who haven't caught the other shows are new to Verde Valley.
Yeah,
an idea of the inequity that you're talking about.
Yeah, and Bob Oliphant, who you mentioned, worked on a study for 2014, a time our committee is getting appointed. And it appeared at that time, based on the study, because you can't get the information from the college. They've refused to give it, and we've asked. It looked like $7 million of the $14 million in property taxes that we contributed were not used for the benefit of the Verde Valley. They were used on the other side of the mountain. Now, there was another study done by somebody else about last year's budget, and it looked like $10 million of maybe $18 million, when I include in that $2 million from tuition and $16 million from taxes, it looked like $10 million of that was used on the other side of the mountain.
So, folks, what's going on is they're collecting all this tax money from the Verde Valley, from Sedona back in 2014, $6.5 million. That was a shock. We thought it was only $5 million. And they're spending the money. So they're taking it from one side of the mountain. They're spending the money on the other side. Right, Paul?
That's correct. They have a dilemma over there. They cannot operate everything they operate, which includes a multitude of cultural and athletic activities, without our money. The only other way to do it is to raise taxes more. And people on this side of the mountain are upset about taxes, but they're even more upset, from what I can tell, on the other side of the mountain. They had an election. When I was being elected, the election was up for Prescott. The fellow had been on there for 15 years and was chair of the committee and spent $15,000. One got 53% of the vote, and the guy running against him had $2,000, was unknown and got 47% of the vote, and he campaigned on one issue, taxes. So if they had had the money behind him, he might well have beaten the person who won. They're very upset about taxes. This year they're not going to raise taxes, but they raised tuition 5%.
The college folks can independently raise taxes. It has a tax-raising authority. It has to be approved, right, Paul, or how does
the board can do it? And the board has approved every tax increase, at least as far back as I can analyze it, for the last 12 years recommended by the college. They've approved every tuition increase, every fee increase, and everything else at the college has recommended. The three members from the West Side have approved it.
The issue, just to kind of frame it as clearly as we can, is getting a fair deal on what we're paying for. The amount of taxes that the Verde Valley, Sedona and the Verde Valley send to Prescott, and what we're getting back. And that any economic body will recognize what an economic generator the college is, or any college is in town. And so by cutting back on the boards and the college's support of campuses in the Verde Valley, we're talking about the Sedona campus and the Clarkdale campus, is damaging the economics of this entire area. Not to mention, by the way, that the mission of a college, I believe, is still to educate students. And so when you concentrate offerings in Prescott and not in Sedona or Clarkdale, you're damaging the primary mission of the college. And that is my number one complaint here. Look, we're going to talk about a lot of things today, and Paul's going to enlighten us on a few things that are going forward, that are getting better. But in the past, and as far as I'm concerned, continuing, the meager offerings for students in Sedona and Clarkdale are part of the college's sin. I won't call it a crime. I'm going to call it a sin against its people here.
You mentioned things getting better. We have a great hope right now. We have a new president. Her name is Dr. Lisa Ryan. I was part of the interviewing process, although not part of the vote, but I would have voted for her. She strikes me as a person very sensitive to the needs of the poor. She grew up poor herself. She's got a terrific story about how she worked her way through college, et cetera. She's been in all these different positions in community colleges, and she seems open-minded. So that is a great hope. I've seen...
Say her name again, please.
Yeah, Dr. Lisa Ryan.
Thank you.
I've seen some improvement already. One of the things that I talked about to some of the people, actually before I got elected, because after election, I'm not allowed to talk to the officers without going through Dr. Ryan. But before election, I did talk to some of the officers, and I said, one of the things we don't have over here is we don't have face-to-face classes for all the classes you need to get your 2-year general education degree. So he came out last month and he said, you got 3 classes missing. We're going to put them in the fall. We're going to fill them up with online people from other places, but we will have them face-to-face here. So that was a positive. It was a small positive, but it's definitely a positive.
I have a suggestion of a good English teacher who's sitting across from me for the college.
I don't think it's going to do me any good. No, gen ed is important, general ed, because we have this university a few miles up the road who specializes in one of their feathers in their university cap is what the number of education majors that they turn out. So once again, at least, and maybe this is the old order of things, maybe everything is changing so much, but it seems like Yavapai College would want to prepare education majors in as efficiently a manner as possible, and making everybody take online or Prescott is not necessarily the most efficient manner. I think maybe they see it differently. Point is, we got NAU, and so that's really good news. I'm taking an awful long time to say good news.
And if you don't have a lot of money, a college like Yavapai, a community college, is a good way to get going because it's much less expensive than the universities, right, Paul?
Yeah, and it could be a lot less expensive because one of the things in this budget is scholarships. And it turns out they're going to give $140,000 worth of scholarships to people of Yavapai County.
Well, what is the tuition?
I can't tell you what that is offhand. But they're going to give those scholarships, but they're going to give $588,000 worth of scholarships from people who are not from Yavapai County because they're athletes. We have 85 members, my understanding, on the teams, 4 teams, 2 of them from Yavapai County.
The college has an outstanding soccer team, but there are very few soccer players from our area. I mean, they're imported basically almost like a larger college would bring in football players from somewhere.
Do they attract an audience that would justify the expense?
According to Bob Oliphant, no. He says it's sparsely populated when they have the games. And, of course, they have no games over here, although they may do one in the future? No, they don't. And we have no idea what these cost because they don't have it as a line item in the budget.
It is a big deal to go to a local high school and hope to get on the college baseball or college soccer team. But as we pointed out, I don't know many people that do. They recruit from out of state, and that's the other big. We have no athletic facilities on the Sedona campus, and certainly and not the Clarkdale campus. And so much of the effort goes, and this is an alumni thing. I'm going to guess. I don't know the inner workings of higher education, but I'm guessing alumni like college sports. And this is going to be an aside also. Yavapai College, is it the only college that took community out of its name, by the way? It's called Yavapai College, and everything I look at, I see Pima Community College, I see Maricopa Community College. I can go on and on and name all 28 community
colleges. I did research that. It was never in the name.
Never in the name.
It was never in the name. When it was originally started, it was Yavapai College. So it isn't that somebody intentionally took it out. Ah. It was never there in the first place. But I want to talk about a test that's going to happen tomorrow in terms of things for the Verde Valley. One of the things that is being proposed for the next budget by the college is to take a building called Building L, which you may be familiar with, but the audience won't. This is the weirdest shaped building on the campus. And the top floor is now used to train nurses, and that's great. But what they need to do now is they need to do maintenance in the building. But they also want to spend a huge amount of money to overhaul the bottom of the building, to use it mainly for other kinds of medical things like medical assistant, et cetera. I'm not sure what they'd use it for. They're not sure what they'd use it for. But it'll give them an extra 9,000 feet. That they have a price tag on to do all that of $7 million, which I think is enormous. I'm going to propose tomorrow that instead of doing that, that what we do is we put that off, not that that wouldn't be nice in the future, and we start building a 35,000-square-foot career technical education center where we can teach automotive, not just automotive, but diesel automotive like they do on the other side of the mountain, and the building trades, and, of course, other things as well. Now, they're not going to have enough money with $7 million to finish that in 1 year. So I'm proposing that in the budget after that, they put in the rest of the money to finish it, and we can take all that money from our taxes and not take a penny from the other side of the mountain if they let us use our money there. Now, tomorrow, my understanding is people from the construction trades and perhaps automotive are going to come and speak to the board and the president of the college saying, this is what we really need. This was promised in 2000. It's been something that has been on the table with the people here for more than two decades, and it's never happened. And the other side of the mountain, not counting any of the medical stuff, they have a 108,000-square-foot building to do all this stuff that they've spent many millions of dollars in to upgrade it. And we don't have it. And I think it's our first priority.
Yeah, you're right, Paul. The L building is and I'm no architect. It's a very interesting, I encourage people to go out and look at it. It's a very interesting building architecturally, I would think. It's different, certainly. And it's very Arizona. Much of it is oriented outdoors. So, and I'm not sure that it was built to last, I guess, if speaking as a non-builder architect, it seems. But it is very very area and very cool, at least as far as its difference goes. Paul's comments on CTE are huge, that we could get a career in technology campus or a building down here. They have ports, and it means so much to a community. 4-year degrees Apple no longer requires a 4-year degree. Google no longer requires a 4-year degree. And several of the major employers right here in Arizona no longer require a college degree. So career and technology education isn't shop anymore. It is essential to any higher education institute. So to have something focused on the Verde Valley campus is huge. fine. The L building needs some upgrades because they built it as a very outdoor-oriented thing. He's absolutely right. It'll last for a few more years, and we can do it later. To have CTE on this campus really addresses the needs of this community in a way where the economic impact will be real and felt almost immediately.
I should add that it's one of the college's most successful and popular programs on the other side of the mountain. And this is a big program. It's a successful program. It's something that they've done well. And if they've done it well over there, they can do it well over here.
Well, what's CTE?
Career and Technology Education. It used to be called vocational probably back in Germany and Montana, where you're from.
300 people a year, I was told last month, graduate from the program for automotive each year over there. I suggested to the person who said this that, well, that we should be able, after a couple of years of, you know, getting people to know about this, to get 100 people a year, and he nodded his head yes.
And Lisa, I'll tell you, the other problem is memory. Our automotive program over here from via Yavapai College was huge and thriving and thrilling and great and had all kinds of community and student collaboration going on. Our building trades program through Yavapai College was thriving and great. And that's the other thing. We had it and we lost it. And maybe if we never had it, we'd be, you know, guys like me and hopefully the people that come to that meeting tomorrow wouldn't be so butthurt, as they say.
If any of your listeners, you know, believe the way we believe, I would encourage them to come to the meeting tomorrow, get there about 12:30, sign up, and at 1:20 we'll start having a public speaking where you'd have 3 minutes to say what you feel.
Where is it, Paul? Give people a...
Yeah, it's in Clarkdale, the
building
campus.
M.
Building M. I think it's Hill Street is the name of the street, and it's Building M on the first floor.
Black Hills Drive.
Black Hills Drive. Black Hills Drive. Yes, you know that better.
601 Black Hills Drive.
601 Black Hills Drive.
Room M137.
Exactly.
Okay, there you go. Right next to the library.
And what's the time again, Paul, one more time?
Try to get there at 12:30 to sign up, and at 1:20 is when they'll start allowing the public to speak.
All right.
The meeting begins at 1:00.
That's good news. And the Yavapai Board, we got Paul Chevalier here from the Yavapai College Board of Governors, or Governing Board. And the Yavapai College Board meets in Clarkdale twice a year. So this is a chance. And to continue the sour grapes, one more tirade, one more rant, that is... one of the biggest things you notice if you stroll the campus is the lack of students, but on all campuses are, many, many campuses are online, as obviously each year since I taught Yavapai Colleges, they paid me double to teach an online class in 2002 because they wanted to encourage online education so much. I taught 4 online classes and they paid me double. So, because I had to learn the
it's a beautiful little campus too, and this would be a chance to see the campus. It's a beautiful facility. It's underutilized maybe, but it is quite attractive, and it's very easily accessed from the Verde Valley.
So what I want to tell Paul is what some of us see is this corporate consolidation of resources, and now maybe this is good if you're a hedge fund. But if you're a college supposedly serving people, and by the consolidation of resources, I mean we have no administrators over here in Yavapai or in Clarkdale. Clarkdale-Cottonwood, that's, you know, the campus just happens to be physically located in Clarkdale, but obviously it's a campus that serves Clarkdale and everybody else around here. The idea of consolidating resources is making people go to Prescott for work and for school. We have no administrators. One of the things when we had administrators over here, they would be on this show. They would be having their picture in the paper. The whole profile of Yavapai College was a much, much bigger deal when we had more control over our own destiny, as it were, our own voices that went back to Prescott and said, hey, this is what we're doing over there. That doesn't happen here anymore. All decisions are made. We used to make jokes about it. Our temperature work was controlled from, at least in one of the buildings I was in, was controlled from Prescott, which, you know, we're talking about a city of 5,000 feet, a much different climate than down here.
There's double the population.
But it's indicative of other things that they want to control from the head office rather than the satellite.
So there's double the population over on the other side of the mountain than there is in the Verde Valley. Poverty is a big issue here. We interview with the mayor of Cottonwood, and we ask him what was the biggest issue in Cottonwood, and he said poverty. And the valley gets poorer as you head further and further down the valley. So we need programs that will help people who don't have a lot of money get a foot up.
One of the interesting things is that 15 years ago, 30% of the students that were in Yavapai College were here in the Verde Valley, taking classes in the Verde Valley. My estimate now is it's about 10 to 12%. And we used to have about 30% of the teachers. My estimate now is we have 10 to 12% of the teachers. And I saw a graph which showed the percentage of people here online and the percentage of people online in Prescott. Looks to me like 90% of our people are online, and it looks to me like 30, 35% in Prescott are online. And people are very proud of that. And I say, well, the reason they're online is because there are no classes for them to take here.
Exactly.
And they can't take the time to go around the mountain. What we need to do is have two separate colleges. When Doreen Daley was president here, she was considering having having a separate administrative college over here. Well, they got rid of Doreen Daley, and that never happened.
Yes, and that's it. Certainly there was that push. When Paul was meeting with his advisory committee for those years, there was also kind of a, I don't want to call it a shadow operation, but an advocacy committee that was not an official committee of any kind, but certainly felt a number of citizens of the community felt like they had to form some sort of body in order to right these inequities that we've been talking about for this whole show.
Let's ask Paul what's happening going forward. Where should the college go from here, Paul, in your estimation? You're on the board now. You're up on all the details. And what should the college do? We understand that the state has cut the funding to community colleges, right? So we understand there are problems, economic problems that come from lack of state funding. But where should the college go from here, particularly in terms of the Verde Valley?
Well, I think you have to begin over on the other side of the mountain. They have a lot of cultural activities. I don't know what each one costs, but I did see one chart that said it's somewhere between 10 and 12%, more like 12% of the entire cost of the college. They need to find a way, if these are activities for the people of Prescott nearby, to get those people to pay for them instead of having to come out of the taxpayers' money. As they do that, they'll need less of our money, and then we can use our money over here. I hope tomorrow they're going to listen to the public that get for the CTEC. My fear is that they won't. They're just going to go forward with this Building L thing, which will, you know, give us a few more people in the medical program, but we could get, you know, hundreds more people if we do it the other way. But I think we have to keep trying to convince the president, who's new and a little bit unfair that she has to operate this quickly and for changes, but we need her to really recognize, and she's going to be a lot of pressure from the other side of the mountain.
So the question is always, and the statistics are, and that Paul is going to has looked at, or eventually will look at, that the numbers and enrollment kept going, as he already alluded to it, go down and down and down in the Verde Valley area, and they go down and down and down. So which comes first, the chicken, the offerings? So they keep offering fewer and fewer classes, so enrollment goes down. Are we stupid? Are we stupid down here and they're smarter over in Prescott? So they take more college classes? I don't happen to agree with that particular line of thought. I think people in the Verde Valley and Sedona want community college or junior college education, or at least Yavapai college education, as much or more than people in Prescott and Prescott Valley, by the way. You know, somebody explain to me, can you explain to me why Prescott Valley has this $1 million tennis program when the college, I believe, still doesn't have a tennis team.
Actually, it's not Prescott Valley. It's Prescott.
Okay.
That has that. Yeah, I can my guesstimate is you had a president who was both on the Yavapai College Foundation Executive Committee and also president of the college, and the executive committee wanted it. And the next thing that and they said they put in $450,000. They didn't. They put in about $140,000.
The foundation.
The foundation. And the rest of it, about $1.2 million, $1.3 million, came from the college, and it loses money every year for maintenance, and it's not used by very many students. It's used by the public. But, you know, you just brought up something else. We just built for several $1 million a state-of-the-art medical facility in Prescott Valley. Now, why Prescott Valley? It would have been more logical to build it over here.
Absolutely.
But they didn't do that. And, you know, you can speculate why, but one of their three votes is the guy from Prescott Valley, and I don't know if that had anything to do with it or not, but it's a possible speculation. Prescott Valley now has everything that they could absolutely ask for.
Let me use that as an example of an economic generator. We have this hospital here. Whatever you think about it, Verde Valley Medical Center, as part of Northern Arizona Healthcare, has been here a long, long time. Marcus J. Lawrence, the whole history of the hospital in the Verde Valley is huge and long. Verde Valley, the Yavapai Medical Center is what it is in many, many cases, just like the college. If you want to talk about patients and enrollment, Verde Valley Medical Center challenged the college on use, challenged the Yavapai Medical Center on use pretty strongly. We've had this long tradition of medical care in the Verde Valley. A state-of-the-art educational facility would have been huge, would literally save people from lives, enrich people's lives in the Verde Valley because the education could give them and the kinds of jobs they could get at a Verde Valley Medical Center with a resource like that. Now, wonderful that Yavapai Medical Center now has that resource in their town, and good on them. But I believe that economically it's going to build up Yavapai Medical Center, where Verde Valley Medical Center will putt along as we always have.
And it's the largest employer in the Verde Valley, the medical center. So it's,
one of them.
This is one of the two.
The other is Yavapai Apache Nation.
I just looked at the list in Prescott, by the way, which is fascinating. The biggest employers, yeah, by far. I'm going to screw this up. Government and the tribe are huge. But yes, take a look at the list of employers and see if the Yavapai College, both in Prescott and in the Verde Valley, match that.
Here's a statistic for you. And I got this from the college. They presented this 2 months ago to the board. We have 31% of the population. We have 39% of the business of the county in Yavapai, in the Verde Valley.
Well, it's very active down here, that's for sure.
And I want to ask Paul a question that goes back to something you said earlier. You said that there were 24 proposals, of which only one was adopted. What were some of the other major 24 propositions that are now dead or suspended in midair?
Well, it's not that they were just not adopted. They weren't even discussed. We presented them to them. They handed it off to the college. They never even discussed them, even though we're a board committee. But some of them were...
I want to address that. That's a big screw you to these guys. Meet for 2 years.
Certainly.
They come up with this list and they don't even talk about them. They can it. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah. Well, Career Technical Education Center was a big one. Transportation is another big one. None of these things, those are just two that are off the top of my head. But we got into smaller things and bigger things. We wanted to get into recruitment. Because recruitment and at that time was terrible. Marketing was terrible. The president even admitted it, but she wouldn't let us talk to the marketing director. And then we got suspended.
That's one of the things we found, Paul, was that they had radically cut back recruitment in the Verde Valley, advertising for the college, and then they used the fact that that caused her a drop in enrollment to say that then they didn't have any more money
it's
to spend on
advertising. What they cut back with the worst thing, the thing that hurt the most, the arrow, the pill, was that you weren't seeing Yavapai people on the high school campuses. You needed that Yavapai day. You needed these physical people, whether they were Verde Valley administrators or Sedona administrators. They needed to go. We needed the face of Yavapai College on these campuses recruiting these local students. If they want to go to Albuquerque and L.A., great. They should go there. Or Salt Lake, recruit your butt off. But the cutback we saw almost immediately after that show, we saw an uptick in ads in the Red Rock News and in the Verde and
right.
Now, I'm not sure how much somebody's going to have to, and maybe Paul Chevalier can suggest is advertising in a newspaper the best recruiting tool for students that
it's not
have
at
trouble
all.
Reading?
No, it's not at all. I've talked to Rodney, who is the new marketing director. He's got some ideas for recruitment, but he has a limited budget.
Right.
He doesn't have. He
especially
needs,
on this side of
he
the
needs
model.
More money. You know, I come from retail where that was a big budget. And he's got $750,000, which may sound like a lot, but it's not a lot.
Have you bought an ad in the Red Rock News lately? It'll last a week.
Yeah.
That's a joke.
So
how about on Chasm?
That's
yeah,
right.
You go.
that's right. But they're not even here. You know, what can I tell you?
Well, the recruitment, and it's easy to point a finger at the recruitment. It's hard to say why the students will take a class or won't take a class or attend a college, don't attend a college. But certainly it's like anything else. Price, we're talking about, I don't know, the last time I looked, state support was 1%. I don't understand.
Still 1%.
I don't, 1%. So your tax dollars, at least the state tax dollars, at least as far as this communal effort, that education is supposed to be, and maybe that's part of it, it's an ideological thing, 1% of support for its higher ed at the grade 13 and 14 level, which is what, you know, Yavapai College does. I mean, this is shameful. I'm going to guess that there are, you know, dozens of third world countries that support their higher ed at a higher level than Arizona does. I just don't understand, which makes tuition that much higher. And that's where they had to raise tuition because they weren't going to raise taxes and they're not going to get any more from, if you consider those three sources, taxes,
right.
Tuition,
and people
and
do
state
pay
support.
Tuition. So if your recruitment drops off, then the amount of tuition money coming into the college also drops off. And there's sort of a negative feedback situation. That's what we saw when we first started reporting on the story.
Well, there's a link. You know, when I was in retail, if a product wasn't selling, we didn't raise its price.
Right.
That's
yeah.
And guess what's happened on the other side of the mountain? They got less. They went down at least 2,000 people. Last year, on the other side of the mountain.
Wow.
I don't know the exact number, but I know it went down about 2,000 people, which is significant. I mean, I think they have about 9,000 here and about 32,000 over there. Those may not be the right numbers, but
just to
say,
the difficulty in computing, you were talking, you know, a lot of people take one class, two classes, three classes. So when Paul says 2,000, when he says.
We're talking full-time equivalents.
There we go. And a lot anybody that's attended college understands FTE, understands full-time equivalent, but that's one of the reasons the number is a little slippery.
But they count online, the online people. You know, in February, I took tours of both campuses, beautiful campuses, as you say, both of them. The one over on the other side of the mountain is beyond belief, but that was busy. Our campus was beautiful, and it was a ghost town.
It is a ghost town.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal with online, and everybody knows this, at least college people. It's a great moneymaker. You got 50 people sign up for, let's get real, 35 people sign up for a class. At the end of the second week, you might have 18. Online is difficult. You have to be self-motivated. And in 2019, I don't have to educate you guys, like I did in 2002 and 2003, on how to survive in an online class, how an instructor can best help that survival with online discussion boards, with meetings, all the kinds of things that may or may not be done. But and I'm getting off into the weeds here. But when you look at from the home office's standpoint, you sign up, you pay your fees, and then you drop out. It can't be any better. That's the best way It's not the way to serve students. It's not the way to serve a community, but it's a good way to serve a home office.
I'll say one other thing about culinary here. You know, the campus was closed for 3 years. You might, I don't know if you know that, after they kicked out the film school, or the film school left because they weren't getting any money.
Because
they weren't getting any money anymore from the college. They wouldn't put in culinary. Finally, they agreed. They put in culinary. They put together a great committee. I was on the committee, but they had a subcommittee, more important, of the expert, you know, the top chefs around and the top restaurant managers. They said, let's teach chefs. You need 4 kitchens. Everybody agreed to that. 2 weeks later, we got an email that said it's going to be 2 kitchens.
They don't teach enough culinary courses to really get somebody going. You would think that Sedona would have a cachet. The people would come to Sedona. You go to the Culinary Institute in Sedona, Arizona, would be just like, I mean, the massage therapy schools in Sedona are huge compared to others and well-known nationally. People come all the way here. They arrange for their students to stay in people's homes. You know, we have a lot of elderly have spare bedrooms and stuff.
Line cooks, which we teach, start at minimum wage. Now, we have a lot of people. I mean, we have doubled that enrollment from when we started. We're doing very well, but we're only teaching people minimum wage jobs and a little bit of pastry. I've talked to the chef. The chef says we could teach chefs even in the 2 kitchens. They talk about it. It's not happening, though.
Well, see, that's why, you know, heavy-duty intellectuals like myself criticize the college for starting culinary, because they say, why are you going to train people at the college level for minimum wage jobs? Now, most of us heavy-duty intellectuals, he says again, referring to himself, training for, you know, at least they're doing something. At least preparing line cooks is preparing somebody for jobs
They don't stay line cooks, Mike. I worked in the restaurant business for a very long time. It is a step up for minorities. It's a step up for poor kids. It's a step up for anybody who did not do well in high school and college, because you can go to a culinary institute, and the better you can go to, and you can end up with a job, and you can move up. You can end up owning a restaurant. I mean, it is a success route for a lot of people who don't have another easy one.
But it would be great if we just didn't teach Culinary 101 and we go on to the next course. And that was the intent in the first place, and they haven't gone on to the next course. I agree, you got to start with 101. But let's move on and let's move it up.
Well, I'm going to mention to people, since I'm on the radio here, that the good things we said about Yavapai College this morning and the not so good things we said about Yavapai College this morning, it's really up to you. If there's programs that you like to see that speak, if you want to take jewelry programs, you want sculpture, you want ceramics, you want, and that's, I'm going to say for maybe the older population, if you're
welding,
older and
Mike,
you want
welding.
The next, if you want the next course from line cook, then speak up, make a phone call, talk to somebody. And that kind of pressure, regardless of the darkness of an administration, they will respond to. Even the last administration would have responded to that. Paul Chevalier, thanks for coming. I'm going to say it up front. Democratic perspective here as a show we got this whole history with Yavapai College and all the shows we've done on it. We'd like to have you back, maybe to do maybe quarterly updates.
I'd be happy to. And let me just say, I'm very positive on the college. I just want to have over here a lot more of what they have on the other side of the mountain. But I'm very positive on the college.
That's good. Thank you for saying that, and I'm glad to hear that. We want to remind everyone that you can pick up this show if you want to. Steve Williamson, you can listen to the transcript, listen to the recording of this show on vbid.org, vbid.org. We have all of our podcasts, Verde Valley Independent Democrats. If you put that in your browser, it works pretty good. Thanks, folks.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZN. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.